The end of the U.S. Supreme Court session brought with it one of the most anticipated rulings by the court, which concerned the 2020 U.S. Census. The majority, led by Chief Justice Roberts, ruled that the question about citizenship on the census form had to go, at least for now. The case was punted back to a lower court with the invitation for the federal government to come up with a better explanation about why the question should be included, even though that same question in various forms have been part of the U.S. Census form until the 1970s. Our first guest today joins us to review this decision and what it means for the community organizations who have come together under the Census New Jersey 2020 Coalition, along with being the coalition's coordinator. He's also policy counsel with Advocates for Children of New Jersey, Peter Chen. Thanks for being here today, Peter.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And learn more about the Census 2020 New Jersey Coalition. It's part of the Advocate for Children of New Jersey website, acnj.org/census2020NJ. And yes, we have a link to that page as well at our website homepage. So, Peter, as far as the ruling on the census, albeit, again, the government could, even though the clock is ticking, get a second swing at the pitch, what does it mean as far as the concerns of the Census New Jersey 2020 Coalition is concerned?
So the Census 2020 New Jersey Coalition is focused on an accurate and complete count of every single one of New Jersey's residents in the census. And we know that the citizenship question would have created a lower response rate among immigrant households. And New Jersey is one of the most diverse states in the country, has a high number of immigrant households. And the Census Bureau's own research suggests that non-citizen households would have an 8% lower response rate than citizen households if the question were to be included. So the coalition is pleased to see that the Supreme Court has recognized that the Bureau needs to produce better reasons for why it would include such a question, given the effect it would have on response rates. And the impact it would have on a complete count here in New Jersey.
And not to get into a long explanation about why the government missed with the first swing at the bat. Basically, it was they want the question on the because of the element of voter fraud, very briefly paraphrase that. But that does bring up the point, though, Peter, because the original intent of the census was just for discerning how many representatives each state should have. In what was at that point, at least when the census was started way back in the beginning, a very small United States of America. Since that time, though, the census has evolved and its usage has grown to include funding for community organizations in all the states, too. So I guess that's why the debate gets more complicated, because there's concern that, well, if someone who can't vote legally, at least, why should they be a part of the census?
Well, I'll start with the Constitution itself, which makes very clear that all persons have to be counted in the census and all persons are included. But the second thing I'll say is that there are lots of people who can't vote who nonetheless are important for the country as a whole to recognize in its counts. So children under the age of 18, for example, cannot vote, but I think that children are an essential part of the fabric of the United States and of the fabric of New Jersey, and do need to count for the purposes of things like determining how much school funding or how much healthcare funding, and not just for this year, right? Because the decennial census determines funding and representation for a decade to come. Right. Right? The three-year-old today will be 13 in 2030. And so we need to make sure that all residents are counted, regardless of whether they may vote or not, right? People who are incarcerated can't vote. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be counted in the census, because eventually many of those people will go back home, right? And they will need services like, the range of services that's funded. It's not just community organizations. We're talking about Medicaid and Medicare. We're talking about Section 8 public housing. We're talking about Title I schools. We're talking about Head Start. Right? These are a wide range of programs that serve the full range of residents in the United States, not just those who happen to be born here. And I'll also note that, legal permanent residents would also have to mark that they are not citizens. But legal permanent residents, green card holders, make up a substantial part of New Jersey's immigrant population.
When you look at the on the aspect of that side, as far as the community organization funding funds for state programs, even that come from the federal government, if there's a short count, are there estimates of what the level of impact would be for different causes, different regions, different people?
So, you know, the effect of undercounts is very hard to estimate. There have been attempts in prior censuses to determine exactly how many dollars have been lost. Because you can't always line up an exact count of people to dollars in many of the, because the federal funding formulas are complicated, and it also depends on how other states count. So a good example might be that since 1990, New Jersey has lost two congressional seats as a result of changes in population. Now, New Jersey actually gained residents in each one of those censuses, but because other parts of the country gained more residents, New Jersey lost out proportionally. And so this is part of why it's hard to estimate exactly the impact of each undercounted resident, but we know that when it comes to federal funding formulas, the population is a key component, and oftentimes that's going to impact different populations. So, for example, with Title I school funding, they're really looking at the population of children, not of all residents. And so undercounts in specific populations, particularly low-income groups, children under the age of five, seniors, and other populations that are supported by federal programs in many ways, will have a bigger impact on the dollars from the federal government. But I will say that it's roughly $23 billion in federal funding that comes to the state of New Jersey each year. And you can imagine how just a 1% undercount of residents could have an enormous dollar impact on, you know, state budget and the state budget as well as on programs that depend on those dollars, like after-school programs or soup kitchens and homeless shelters.
And certainly with the precarious state of the New Jersey state budget, losing 1% of federal funding could be a monumental challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking with Peter Chen, who is the Census NJ 2020 Coalition Coordinator, is also Policy Counsel with Advocates for Children of New Jersey, acnj.org, as well as acnj.org/census2020NJ. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. They're called hard-to-count communities. That's where it's challenging to either get to everyone that needs to be counted or can be counted, or finding people that the people who need to be counted. Geographically, is there a region of the state in New Jersey where those hard-to-count communities are more common than other areas in the state?
Yes, and they tend to overlap with New Jersey's lower-income communities. You know, it's not surprising that Newark and Jersey City, Paterson are concentrations of hard-to-count communities. But I will say that, you know, hard-to-count communities can be found everywhere because of the way in which the census is conducted. So the census is a mail-based, you know, survey at its core. And that means that they send a census survey questionnaire out to every residential mailing address in the United States. But you can see how in lots of communities that method may not reach everybody, right? When we think about people who don't have stable mailing addresses or people who move frequently, when we think about homeless residents, or we think about individuals who may be staying briefly with family in one place or another and moving constantly. And also when we think about people who live in, let's say, multi-unit housing. If you've ever lived in an apartment building and ever, you know, not gotten your mail because the mail went to somebody else in the building, right, that's an obstacle that can exist. And multi-unit housing units like apartment buildings are also a challenge to get into, right? When the census finishes its mail survey and starts sending around census enumerators to knock on doors and ask questions directly, you know, you can't get into a buzzer apartment building. And so denser areas do tend to have more hard-to-count areas. But rural areas also have similar issues. So if you use a P.O. box, right, if you're in rural Cumberland County and you use a P.O. box at the post office to collect your mail, you're not getting a census form. Right? The census only mails to residential mailing addresses. So those individuals are going to require separate outreach. And actually, in many places, the Census Bureau has to send around an employee to literally go to each door and strap a you know, census envelope to the door of those homes that are not using residential residential postal addresses.
It is going to be an interesting issue to watch because the estimate is everything for the form for 2020 has to be finalized, approved, and official by, some people say, as early as September. The administration in Washington is saying could be October, but either way, between now and then, there could be a second swing at this pitch, as I said before, because the Supreme Court ruling basically said you can do it if you come forward with a better explanation versus what you showed up with the first time. So we'll see if that between now and then does indeed happen. We've been joined by Peter Chen, who, along with the Census NJ 2020 Coalition, he is the coordinator. He's also policy counsel with Advocates for Children of New Jersey, their website, acnj.org. Peter, thanks so much for explaining all this and for being here today.
All right. Thanks, Chris. It's been a pleasure.